Hi, welcome back to the channel. This video is another update on the situation with regards to the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And in today's video, we're talking about Sri Lanka. I recently posted a video on Sri Lanka, and we were looking at all of the economic problems that are going on in the country right now. But unfortunately, things have escalated, and a state of emergency has now been declared by the Sri Lankan government. And I wanted to make this video to give you more insight into what's going on, but also to talk about what happens when we start to see economic collapse. I'm asked quite often by viewers, what does the collapse of an economy and a country look like? And what we're seeing in Sri Lanka now is the start of the process of a country breaking down and all of the order breaking down. And eventually we may get to the point where there is a change of government and a complete restructuring of the Sri Lankan economy. So in this video, we'll have a look at the state of emergency and what that entails. We'll look at the current economic situation and specifically what's happening with currency. We'll then look at the problems with fuel supply and food supply. I'll tell you about the aid that is currently being provided directly by India and the discussions that the government are having with regards to a general bailout. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen in Sri Lanka over the next 3 to 6 months and what impact that will have on the global economy. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget that I include chapters in these videos. So if there's a section that you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find a link to Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. Sri Lanka is a fertile island that is able to grow a variety of food products, but it isn't blessed with any major natural resources. It doesn't have any oil or natural gas or anything of real value, apart from gemstones, which are in relatively short supply. The main industry, which represents around 52% of total GDP, is manufacturing, and that's based predominantly on being a low labour cost country. So there's a lot of textile production and garment output. And the other single biggest export is tea. And that really relates back to the days when this was a British colony. And the British obviously are very keen on tea. So there are a lot of tea plantations all over Sri Lanka. And that equates to around 17% of the GDP. The other main business in Sri Lanka is tourism. And tourism equates to about 10% of GDP. And around 10% of the population are employed in tourist-related activities. One of the reasons that Sri Lanka is in such a dire situation right now is because of COVID. So COVID had a double whammy impact on the economy. Firstly, it killed off all forms of tourism overnight. So in 2020, when we had all of the lockdowns and nobody was traveling anywhere, there were no tourists visiting Sri Lanka. And that meant that around 10% of the population were out of work overnight. But it also had a knock-on impact because tourists bring in a lot of cash and they spend money. And that has a multiplier effect in any economy. So the loss of that tourist dollar really hit Sri Lanka hard. But in addition to the loss of tourism, the introduction of lockdowns meant that a lot of the manufacturing facilities in Sri Lanka had to close. And that meant that all of the people who were working in those facilities didn't get paid. And Sri Lanka isn't a rich country, so the government and the governmental resources were put under immense pressure through the whole of 2020 and part of 2021. Sri Lanka is a net importer and has to import oil and coal to produce electricity. As the world came out of lockdown in 2021, the price of energy started to skyrocket as demand increased. And that started to hurt the Sri Lankan economy because the price of buying in all that energy to keep the electricity running was getting more and more expensive. The currency in Sri Lanka is the Sri Lankan rupee, and the government were operating a managed float, which means that they were using their forex reserves to buy the rupee in the international markets at times when the valuation was under pressure. The managed rate historically had been running at around about 200 Sri Lankan rupees to the dollar. However, at the start of March 2022, the government announced a devaluation of 15%, which took the rate to around about 230 rupees to the dollar. The currency remained under pressure and the government decided to let the float move to more of a free status, and the rate now is trading closer to 300 rupees to the dollar. So that means that over the course of the last 6 weeks or so, the rupee has fallen in value by around 50%. And of course, that's making all of the energy purchases much more expensive because all purchases are made in US dollars, and therefore the rupee has to be benchmarked against the dollar, and it's increasing the costs at a time when prices are rising anyway. So this is putting even more strain on the finances of Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka requires foreign currency to be able to purchase both fuel and food in the international markets, but also to service its international debt. And Sri Lanka has a debt burden of around $50 billion. And in 2022, they have around about $4 billion that has to be repaid on those bonds. In addition to that $4 billion, it's estimated that Sri Lanka will need to find an additional $20 billion to pay for the food and fuel bills for the rest of this year. Since the start of 2020, the foreign currency reserves held by the government have fallen by more than 70%, and as at the end of February, the total amount left is $2.31 billion. So just to put that into perspective, the country needs to find around $24 billion in 2022, and it has less than 10% of that right now. So that's why the country's in crisis, that's why it's on the brink of collapse, and that's why it needs a bailout immediately. So in terms of answering that question about what does the collapse of an economy look like, well, it looks like what's happening right now in Sri Lanka. One of the key issues is the fact that the country can no longer afford to pay for its fuel bill. So we've got reports of tankers arriving at the ports in Sri Lanka, fully laden and ready to unload all of their oil. And the country just doesn't have the dollars to be able to make those payments. And because these ships are privately owned and the oil is owned by companies, nobody is giving charity to Sri Lanka. And these ships are now sailing away from Sri Lanka, still fully laden with oil. So they're not handing over that oil to Sri Lanka. They're essentially going back to base and that oil will go somewhere else. So Sri Lanka is now in the middle of a crisis where it has very little fuel. And just to give two examples of that, a vessel owned by Singapore's Vitol company that was loaded with 37,500 metric tons of diesel sailed away from Sri Lanka on Thursday the 31st of March because the authorities did not have the $52 million to be able to pay for that cargo. In addition to that, a vessel carrying 5,500 metric tons of cooking gas also had to leave Sri Lankan waters after the company that ordered it could not procure the $4.9 million from the local banks to be able to pay for it. So the lack of foreign currency and the inability to buy in fuel is causing major problems for two reasons. Firstly, fuel is needed to create electricity in Sri Lanka. A lot of the power stations are either coal or oil fired. So as a direct result of these shortages, we are now seeing blackouts in Sri Lanka every day. And these are being scheduled and the population are being notified of when they will take place. And they are now running for up to 13 hours every single day. So we've got a real problem that the majority of people are without power for at least half the day. And so are the companies in Sri Lanka. So if you're a company that's required to produce low-cost garments, you should be operating 24 hours a day on a shift pattern. So if you don't have electricity for half of that day, that means that you can't manufacture for at least the hours when the electricity's out, but more likely it will be longer than that because you've got to arrange for your staff to come and go and everything to be switched on and ready. So this is having a really big disruptive effect on industry, which will have a follow-on impact because that means that people won't be getting paid, these companies will make less profit, they may even go into loss making, and we've got a whole downward spiral that will start from this because if you don't have basics like electricity, you can't do business, and therefore you will lose contracts and you'll lose profit, and it just becomes a really horrible situation. So electricity is a big problem for industry and for the consumers. But the other big problem is that a lot of people in Sri Lanka use oil for cooking purposes. And that oil is no longer being supplied to Sri Lanka because the companies who are buying it can't afford to pay for it in bulk. So that means that they don't have any. There's real shortages. So last week when I reported, we were talking about long queues at the fuel stations, and there'd been some outbreaks of violence, and a man had been killed, had been stabbed to death, and a couple of people had died because of the extreme heat. So the problems had already started, but now we're getting to a situation where there isn't any fuel. So there's no point queuing for 12 hours because there isn't any to buy. So from a more basic perspective, that means people don't have a method of cooking. And when you're in an economy where everybody is eating rice, you need to be able to cook it. You can't eat rice that's raw. So this is getting to real basic fundamentals for human existence. So alongside the fuel crisis, there is also a major food crisis going on right now in Sri Lanka. And this is partly driven by what's happening with the economy and partly driven by the fact that in April 2021, the government made a decision to ban all chemical fertilizers. This was based on an environmental and humanitarian perspective, whereby the government decided that there was too much fertilizer entering into the water system and it was finding its way into humans and causing problems with kidneys and other medical problems. So the ban was introduced overnight and all farmers were told that they could only use organic fertilizers like manure. Now the problem with that is that Sri Lanka's an island and it uses intensive farming techniques, so it requires fertilizer to maximize the yield from all of its crops. So whilst organic fertilizers are better for the environment, they're not as productive, they don't produce as much yield. So what happened as a result of the ban that was brought in April 21 is that we're now seeing yields that are far lower for all of the farmers. And some of the reports are saying that these yields are 3 or 4 or 5 times less than what they would normally expect. So we started to see a food crisis that was forming directly as a result of this change of strategy. And by the way, the strategy has now been reversed. So in November 2021, the government decided that it would abandon the policy of banning all the chemical fertilizers. So it was a complete waste of time in the long term. But the situation right now is that there's a shortage of homegrown crops. So that means that Sri Lanka is now having to import food from overseas. And of course, that's come at the perfectly wrong time for them because they've got no foreign currency. They're already out of foreign currency, which they would have needed to pay their debts and also to buy in the fuel. But they're now having to look to use their precious foreign currency reserves that they've got to buy in rice and other food substances just to keep the population fed. So just to come back to that question of what does the collapse of an economy look like? Well, it looks like social unrest. That's what you will see in terms of the actual response from the people. So we've got a situation right now where the people of Sri Lanka can't get fuel, so they can't get enough fuel to use their cars, they can't get any fuel for cooking, and they can't get any food. So they're at a point where there's really some basic issues with regards to human existence. People are worried that they're going to starve to death. This isn't just people wanting to make more money and trying to get some profit. They're actually trying to survive here. And the people of Sri Lanka have had enough. So protests started to form outside the president's house. Initially, those protests were peaceful. And then it's reported that the police fired tear gas and water cannons at the crowd and violence broke out. And 45 people were arrested and it's reported that 24 of the military police who were present were injured in those clashes. Protesters set fire to a vehicle close to the president's house and there was more violence in other protests and another 53 people were arrested. As a result of these outbreaks, the government have now declared a state of emergency and they introduced the 36-hour curfew to run from 6 p.m. on Saturday to 6 a.m. on Monday. So we can see things are starting to go badly wrong for Sri Lanka, but how do they manage to get themselves out of this situation? What's the solution? Well, over the last couple of weeks, Sri Lanka have been engaging with the IMF and the World Bank in terms of seeking emergency cash for a bailout. So no firm figures have been applied to those discussions, but the rumours that we've seen is that they are looking for around about $3 billion of financing, and that would be used to buy some food and to buy some fuel. But obviously that's a short-term solution. In addition to that, they're also talking to the Chinese about a $2.5 billion loan facility. And it's just been announced that India have put an emergency $1 billion line of credit in place for Sri Lanka and have started sending shipments of rice and fuel as an emergency to try to help the country get back on its feet. So Sri Lanka needs help in the short term, but in the medium to long term, the economy needs to get back on its feet. Obviously, tourism is a big part of that economy, and what's happening right now is really not going to help tourism. Nobody wants to go on holiday to a country where there's civil unrest and potentially some sort of civil war in the offing. The people of Sri Lanka have had enough, and they are now protesting, and it's likely that we could see some sort of change of government over the next few months. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, what's going on in Sri Lanka right now is really terrible. This is a bad situation that the country's got itself into. And some of it has been outside of their control in terms of what happened with COVID and the removal of all the tourist dollar from the country and the large increases in fuel costs that we've seen over the last 12 months or so really haven't helped the country either. And that's been exacerbated by the war in Ukraine because we have seen oil and other energy costs go through the ceiling and the price of food substances are also now at an all-time high. So there's been a number of external factors that have worked against Sri Lanka, but there's also some internal decisions that they've made that haven't helped them. So the banning of all of the chemical fertilizers back in April 21 wasn't really a good idea, really reduced the amount of yield that's come from the country in terms of food substances. And that put more burden on the need to import more food at a time when food's at an all-time high and they don't have any dollars because they've spent it all buying fuel. So there's a lot of really unfortunate coincidences that have come all at the same time. But in terms of what's going to happen over the next 3 to 6 months, well, the outlook's quite grim for Sri Lanka. It's probably going to get worse before it gets better. They're receiving some aid right now from India, and they may well get some lines of credit from the IMF and the World Bank and possibly from China. But essentially what all of this is doing is it's just putting more debt into Sri Lanka. So it's getting deeper and deeper into debt. Now, some of this new debt will be relatively friendly, so it may not have any interest attaching to it. It might not have any repayments in the near future, but it's still more debt. And it's not solving the fundamental problem here that Sri Lanka doesn't generate enough income and it doesn't have enough foreign currency to be able to buy in all of the things it needs. The country has tried to address one of its problems in terms of energy generation. Around 40% of all of the installed capacity in Sri Lanka comes from hydroelectricity, but unfortunately, there's been a lack of rainfall over the last few years, and that's meant underperformance of all of those hydro stations, and therefore they've had to buy in more fuel from overseas to make up for that, and that's part and parcel of the problem that they're in right now. So there's no easy solution to how Sri Lanka gets out of this situation. And I wanted to post this video really because it's highlighting one of the problems that we've got around the globe right now. We're starting to see some of these emerging and developing countries struggling because the world is becoming more expensive. Everything has gone up in cost. And if you're buying in either energy or food or both, then it's costing you more. And if you don't have a regular supply of dollars and euros, then you're going to struggle because your foreign currency will run out. You therefore won't be able to pay people. And you'll see situations like we're seeing in Sri Lanka right now, where tankers are turning away from the country and going off to another port and not dropping off any of the fuel that they have on board. So over the next 3 to 6 months, we could see the situation getting worse in Sri Lanka. We could see a collapse of that economy, which would basically look like a change of government and a complete bailout of the country. And then potentially they'll need to have to work out some arrangements with other countries such as China in terms of getting more investment. I recently posted a video where we talked about Hambantota Port, which was a new port that was in conjunction with some Chinese investment. And unfortunately, the outcome of those discussions is that the Chinese now have a 99-year lease on that port. And effectively, it's like an overseas territory of China based in Sri Lanka. And it might be that Sri Lanka has to go down that road. It might have to invite in more overseas investment and more counterparties coming on board. And it becomes more of an international bailout rather than just seeking money from the IMF and the World Bank, because it's probably not enough. $3 billion doesn't sound like enough. If Sri Lanka needs $20 billion for the rest of 2022 just for food and fuel, then it needs another 17 billion on top of the 3 billion just to get through this year. And that's not becoming self-sufficient. That isn't getting to the point where they've got back on an even keel and they can pay their way. So it's a really big problem for Sri Lanka. And unfortunately, I think we're likely to see more countries going down this road over the next 3 to 6 months as the world economy gets more difficult and we see more and more countries needing help. So as always, I'll keep you posted on any news and developments that's happening either in Sri Lanka or anywhere else that I think is interesting to report upon. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, thanks for watching to the end of the video. Just a quick update on Joe Blogs 2. The subscriber levels are moving really, really well. So we're heading towards that magical 1,000 subscribers, but we're not there yet. So if you haven't subscribed, please check out on my homepage. I've got a button for Joe Blogs 2. You can see subscribe there. You can subscribe really easily. Just click on that button and job done. But more importantly than that, I also need to get some watch hours. In order to get monetized on YouTube, you need to have 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours of watch time. So I've recently posted an old video of mine on Luckin Coffee, which was a major financial fraud for a company that listed in New York and then ultimately went bust. It's quite an interesting story, quite a nice video. So if you'd like to check something out, have a look at that video. Or if you've got the time, just run through the playlist. If you click play on the playlist for that channel, it will go through all the videos sequentially. You don't have to watch them all. You can just put it on your PC or on your phone or your laptop and then just go and make a cup of tea and do something else and come back and just clock up a little bit of watch time. Because once we get to that point where we've got monetized, then we can start this experiment for real and see whether or not we can find some YouTube stars of the future. And who knows, it might even be you. You could be sitting at home right now thinking, I just watch YouTube, but actually, what's the difference? Why don't you make some content? Why don't you think about what you like, your hobbies, your passions, something that you'd like to tell people about, maybe explain how to do it, maybe tell them things that they don't know, interesting tips and ideas. There's a whole host of ideas and thoughts that can be put onto YouTube and people will watch it. More than 2 billion people per day are watching YouTube. That's a pretty big market. So get involved, have a go. Please help me get through to the monetization section. And then once we do that, we can then start working out what sorts of videos we can put up there. And hopefully we can get a variety of videos from you guys, put them up, and it's going to be a really interesting journey. So thanks for watching to the end of the video, and I'll see you again soon.